Hi, and welcome to this episode of Digital Alchemy, the podcast of ABUM Digital Creations. I'm Laura Jean Palmer Maloney, and it's a pleasure to get together with you to figure out how to transform your business's web presence into business profit. Over the years, as I worked in many different business guises, whether I've been a public school teacher or a university professor, whether I've been a civil servant working for the U.S. government in the Department of the Army, or in my own work now as an entrepreneur, it's been interesting to realize the different ways that business models can be created and the different ways that people work with clients and customers. I reached out to Sheila Hendrickson, a dear friend of mine, to bring in a conversation for you today about her husband, Bud. Bud Hendrickson was probably the first entrepreneur that I knew. And some of the ways that I remember Bud working with his business and with customers, I think are really going to be fun to share with you. So I'm bringing you into the midst of a conversation with Sheila, and I hope you enjoy our moment together remembering Bud and remembering what it takes to work with customers and clients from a very interesting perspective. So Sheila, the way Bud thinks, the way that your husband, the entrepreneur, the out on the edges of things, he was very conventional in many ways. He was very deep yes. in a whole lot of ways. So continue your talking here.
Bud used to always say, okay, this is bad. This business deal has blown up in my face, or this has become, you know, unmanageable, or whatever the disaster of the day was. But he would always say, but you know what? That's where the opportunity is. If you step back from the disaster thinking, it's like, there's got to be a bigger opportunity here. And I never used to understand, because it's exhausting to face where you take one step forward and 10 steps backwards. It's exhausting, and to live with that that edginess is, for me, was exhausting. But to have the energy to say, okay, but all that said, where's the opportunity here? And you know, truthfully, I think it was that optimism blended, you know, at the same time with his ability to figure things out is what made him successful. It wasn't in avoiding mistakes at all. It was in seeing, okay, that was a bad road to go down, but now that I'm here, what am I looking at? And I didn't have that. He had that. And I think it's just something that I don't know if you're born with it, or I don't know where that comes from, but that was unique in my perspective. That was unique to him in our partnership. That was not my ability. I can pick up the pieces. I can't necessarily see where to go next. So
it's all about cleaning, you know, you can get
yes,
out the dustpan.
Exactly.
Get out the dustpan, but how are you gluing this back together? Well, I think one of my most memorable moments with Bud was during a time when you all were working with some horse breeding and what have you, and just watching him at his computer, and this was decades ago. This was in the probably early 90s, right when y'all moved up to Breckenridge, at a time when I was fascinated that anybody was doing business on the internet. You know, that was such a novel and new idea. And I know that because of his engagement in the technology and everything at that point, that there were times when he was having to be working with customers electronically over the phone. Not everybody was doing business with him in person.
Right.
And I think that those early times of when we're trying to reframe how we do our business, how we conduct ourselves electronically and through digital means, even like this call being, you know, I'm looking at you on a Zoom screen that isn't working with audio, so I've got you connected on a FaceTime call. I mean, we've gone through a whole lot to be able to work together. What are some of your thoughts and memories about the way that this opportunity to work with customers, to work with people, how did Bud engage? How did he find that optimism? How did he find, I mean, was it always optimism? Were there times when working with the customer as well as working with the business part of it all, you know, sometimes it's the thing, sometimes it's the technology or the idea that's falling apart, sometimes it's a more customer relations moment that can make or break life for you in a business setting. What are some of your thoughts about Bud and customers?
Well, if I go back to that particular time frame that you just mentioned, when he in semi-retirement decided he could get away from the extreme hands-on electronic hardware and software business and do something a little more from home, a little more grounded, not fully in technology, but enhanced by technology. What he was found he was dealing with in the whole racehorse and breeding industry for racing was a culture that was not only not up to speed with that current day's technology, they were actually very resistant. It's a very conservative culture. And so he faced trying to introduce ideas such as making breeding decisions based upon statistical analysis and charting of the successful racing results based upon certain breeding decisions. And it was all computerized analysis of this data. And it was almost like, I keep the image that keeps coming to mind is the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. You know, he was this unseen trying to pull these numbers out of the air, supposedly, and advise people about which breeding choices to make based upon a record of successful races for the progeny of this a breeding like this, and it's all theoretical, and it almost made him seem like a bit of a Wizard of Oz type crazy man behind a curtain, and so today I think it would be different. So that comes to mind when you ask me, are your clients or are your customers people who are on an even ground as you are with the technology you're trying to use in your efforts to assist them in a business decision. At that time and place, there was this great divide, an extreme divide between what Bud was trying to do and where his customers or clients were, you know. So it was only, That was a hardship, but it was also, you could kind of ride the wave a little bit of being the mystery man behind the curtain, pulling the levers.
I can so see that. Well, what are some other customer moments? I mean, did he have a feeling, you know, like some people say, the customer's always right. I had many a fun interaction with your husband where he can be very opinionated.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's sort of like how as a business person working with someone who is the client or the customer, did Bud have an overriding philosophy, or how did he work with people? What are some, because he was very successful. I'll just say for the benefit of those listening to our recording that Your husband was, in my mind, and I think on his financial records, he was a genius. He was He succeeded in any number of business ventures. You were saying he did have a few of those uh-oh moments. But pretty much, you know, as a successful entrepreneur, and we all learn lessons, and it's all about risk-taking. I mean, those are some of the foundational characteristics. But did he have any particular, like, bottom line with his work with customers?
I think in the many different types of businesses that he was, you know, focused on, sometimes your clients were people that you could kind of meet on the same level. There were sometimes clients that you had to, or customers that you had to babysit, that required much more maintenance. And so I don't think that there was one overriding philosophy of how to deal with it, because that would have boxed people into a box that wouldn't hold them. People are all over the place. Businesses all over the place. Customers are all over the place. Clients are all over the place. You had to meet each one where he or she or that company was at. And so sometimes I think if I had to boil it down to not an overriding philosophy, but like an underpinning that kind of went from throughout his business life, and that was that it's your relationship with the customer or your client that is what drives the way you act and interact with that client. So he was always very careful to put customer service very, very high on the list, because that's the only way you can retain people, because it's just as easy they go somewhere else, even if it's not to their benefit, even if you can't convince them that it's to their benefit, you still lose the business. And so it's like a balancing act between being honest and upfront and very transparent about what you think their needs are and what you can do for them, and kind of guiding them to where they stay on board. It's not easy. It's not easy to come up with, this is the formula. I don't know that there is a formula. I don't know that we ever figured out a formula, because different situations require a different degree of finesse. And I think he would be very honest in saying that sometimes you have clients or customers that you end up deciding there's no more you can do for them or with them, that their business requires something that you can't meet, and you part ways. Mm-hmm. And that happened more than a couple of times, and you learn from that. Mm-hmm. Everybody has limitations, whether you as the provider of a service or you as a customer requiring a service. Sometimes you don't meet on the same playing field. You need to go somewhere else. Yeah. So I don't have any secrets or answers. And when I look back, I think it's a bit of a roller coaster. Except, like I said, you know, when we first started, is like, even when what looks like an unworkable situation, what's the opportunity there?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes that's your best business philosophy, is just, you know, the openness to what the opportunity is. Which all seems nebulous. I would love do step 1, 2, 3, and 4. I would love that.
Yeah, and you know, I really do believe that that's what, in a lot of today's world, we're used to being able to just Google it. Give me the answer.
Right.
I want it. I want it right now. And life is unpredictable.
Or I think we're used to saying, okay, this person has this degree and they're the expert in this area. This person has this kind of background, whether experience or educational training, so they're the expert in this area. That's not always helpful. Those are not always the people that have what you need, you know. And so I think experts, not to downplay expertise, but to be an expert, I think you have to be a lot more agile than to just, you know, rest on your laurels and decide, because I have a degree in this, I'm now the, you know, what I think and the way I see this, how this should go, should be the deciding factor. You know, I think my experience of our life together and how, you know, being in the business world in such an entrepreneurial way was just, you know, how nimble can you be? How agile can you be? You know, and take advice from the experts, but trust your gut.
I think that is probably an incredibly profound bit of information to kind of like, that's, that sounds like where we can, you know, thank Bud for the lessons learned. And,
right.
And you know, and thank you for sharing, because even though I know Bud was the business person, you as his wife for decades and involved in the businesses in one way or another, you were definitely playing a role, and you definitely watched things unfold and probably gained a lot of ideas about opportunities to take.
Well, I think absolutely. I was thinking about that also. I think it was good for us to have very separate and defined separately roles so that we could balance each other out. And in many respects, I was very intimately involved, but not hands-on. I was a sounding board for everything that was happening, but I wasn't on the front lines. And that allowed for Bud, I think, to be more of a risk taker.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had that kind of anchor in place, that we couldn't control a lot of things as business goes, but we could control, you know, our family. We could, well, that's questionable too, but we could at least control our priorities of making empty.
Yeah.
One of the highest priorities. And so, you know, I think about that, and then I think about the times where I did have to step in and become much more hands-on in different endeavors we were doing, and was always happy to get back to where we played our separate roles. So I think that that was how our partnership worked. But it's interesting to be a soundboard to someone. If you have a point of an observation point that you don't always have when you're too much in the thick of it.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So I value, you know, I don't downplay that. I do value that position of being a soundboard. And I feel like that's how I am now that I've moved into retirement and Peter, our son, has taken over the very last of Bud's business efforts, and I'm his sounding board, and we go over the books and we talk about, you know, the future, what we want to happen in 2020, and we do that. And so I'm back in that role of soundboard without having children, you know, in school and doing all the other things. So I think it's a valuable and an interesting position.
Well, I want to thank you for your time today. It's delightful to have had decades of relationship with you, to be watching as I've moved into my own work in business, trying to go, who are some of the people that I really respect who succeeded? And Bud and your whole family came to mind. So I really do thank you for taking the time to have this conversation.
Well, you're very welcome. And I also love being able to reminisce about Bud. It makes me, you know, it's a good way to honor his memory, is to remember the good times and the bad times. You know, just to...
Yeah.
Keep it in perspective.
And my God, I think my most important takeaway is, no matter what's going on, how convoluted and confused and undone it is, find the opportunity.
Yes. Yep, that was Bud.
Find the opportunity.